Father, we want to thank you so much that you are a good God. Lord, even as we kick off this generation series, we thank you, Lord, for being continually interested in every generation. Lord, how the world must have changed, how things must have moved from generation to generation, yet you still love us. Help us, Lord, to see that every single generation still needs you, that the book of Genesis that was written thousands of years ago still speaks to our generation, that we are all still in need of a Savior. I pray that even as I preach, your presence would fill this place, that it would not be my words, Lord, that I will not speak just from my own generational context, but rather, Lord God, that your insight, your eternal insights would come and affect us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, welcome to our Generations series. We kind of have one of these every year. We've had it for about maybe 5 years. We do it slightly differently each time. Let me hit control on this. Okay, I'm going to read today's verse. It's going to be the anchor verse for this whole series. I'm hoping you will memorize it. It's simple, but really powerful. It goes like this. Psalms 145, verse 4. Ivan mentioned it at worship today, which was fantastic. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Other translations go, one generation shall sing of your praises to another. You know, in this passage, the concept in this passage has the potential to keep the gospel alive. In this one passage, you see our ability as humanity even to learn and to grow. And in this one passage comes even the potential for us to truly connect as a family. From grandfather, grandmother, to parent, to kid, to unborn new kids, every generation shall commend your works to another, ensuring that every single generation still has hope, ensuring that every generation still knows the God who made them and loves them. But so often, this is easier said than done. So often we can't cross that generational boundary, right? We encounter somebody who's from a completely different era, or maybe they are so foreign to you that you don't even know how to talk to a 70-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 50-year-old. Maybe you are just a bit put off by their mannerisms, by the things that their generation finds important that you find completely useless. Or maybe the generation gap is hard for you because that generation has offended you. Maybe you don't think of it as the generation offending you. Maybe you think of it as your son has offended you or your parents. Oh, they're just so offensive. Their values, the things they talk about is so useless. Or maybe it's the 4-year-old that has offended you and you can't imagine your days passing where all you do is talk about Pokemon. I'm just like, oh, that's just, why even bother declaring to this generation? And what on earth could that generation teach us? Because we all know Gen X is the best generation ever. Go Gen X. Okay. You know, it's so hard for us to get past the surface because the surface gets really distracting. It's distracting in the kind of music that we like. It's distracting in the kinds of cars that we drive. It's distracting in the kinds of ways we talk. It's distracting in the way we interact and spend our time. And we rarely, rarely, rarely get a deep, deep glimpse into another generation to discover that humanity is still kind of the same. That this person who's 40 years older than you, or this person who's 20 years younger than you, pretty much beats the same heartbeat you do, and that we're made broadly in the same image. Today, there are some really powerful forces, actually, that are working against generations getting together. We live in this world now where we can put little silos around us of little pockets of our own information and our own world. We can customize things. I've seen even in homes where I'll get into a home and it's one home and everybody is in their own room. And they're all doing their own thing, right? And so it's one home, you would think that there is some commonality of same culture, same address, you know, the same kind of life experience. Yet, we have this ability now because Facebook and Google customize things for us. YouTube allows us to pick the things that we really like and recommends things that we have previously watched. I share a Google account with my daughter, so I get a lot of slime videos. Slime videos every day. Fantastic. She gets Heroes of the Storm. Okay. Anyway, you know, but we get to customize this world, and it makes it really hard for us. It's out of our comfort zone when we step into another generation. Our circle of friends are kind of all in one generation. We've figured out now how to have school-age kids at different ages. We've got things, programs for different TV shows are by age segment now. And so gone are the days where everybody broadly sees the same thing. And it's made us a little bit more isolated. So we might see something like this and want it for our family. And go, yeah, I most definitely want to connect with my children. I love my grandchildren. And find it practically very hard to pull off. So today I'm going to put on my senior pastor hat. And we're going to have a heart-to-heart before we kick off our generation series. Because in this series, over the next 5 weeks, you are going to see different generations, different life stages take over the service. It's going to be pretty chaotic. It'll either be really daggy or it'll be really chaotic, right? But what you're going to get is hopefully a very good look at how one generation commends the Lord. How is it that a youth generation can sing God's praises while jumping up and down? And oh, I was just listening to some of your music the other day. It feels like the metronome is making a comeback. Tick, 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 tick. That's all I hear. It's very cool, though. It's very cool. It's very cool. But, you know, like, how does that generation love the Lord with a click track? Versus how does Uncle Alan's generation worship the Lord a cappella, you know, or with a guitar, you know? And that's what we're going to see. You know, it's really part of FGA's DNA and vision. We have this vision to be household of faith. I think we're very uniquely called to be a multi-generational household of faith. That's why we have very deliberately not gone with our Sunday services and had a hip cool service, which I wouldn't get invited to, you know, and an old traditional service, which I also wouldn't get invited to, you know. And we have gone with one service, all of us together. And there's a reason for that. I want to take some time in our year to explain it. Because This cross-generational issue affects the kind of family that you're going to have. I think it allows the gospel to go on from one generation to another. I think it will change the kind of church that we are. And I think it reflects our anchor verse for the whole church, which is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're literally just a collection of our individuals and families that make up this church. We're not a building. We're not a club. We're not a marketing brand. We're a collection of people, a household that serves the Lord. And we have to learn how to talk to one another, how to honor one another, and how to point one another towards Christ. So that's today. Let's go into the Bible. Genesis is told through generational stories. All right? I'm so keen on us anchoring on the Bible. There is a slight chance that you might, because of the cultural noise that's around, there's a slight chance that over the next 5 weeks, you might think, this is not a biblical church. Yeah, once Harold starts singing The Greatest Showman, you think, oh my goodness, right? Actually, you'll say, oh my goodness, a lot during Harold's. Okay, anyway, oh, he did ask me to say, can you ask the whole church to dress up in circus gear? I'm like, yeah, next week. I'm like, okay, I'll ask. There you go. There is no prize, but if you come dressed as a clown, we'll know you're listening, and Harold will be happy. Okay, great. But Genesis is told through generational stories. There's a word, there's a Hebrew word for generations. It's called toledo, right? Toledo. It means generations or the account of. And theologians, they break up the book of Genesis into these different accounts. There's the toledot of Adam, there's the toledot of Terah, right? And it just goes on from one generation to another. And it, let me read to you the first toledot. There's the toledot of heavens and earth, but the first one of people, which is in Genesis 5, verse 1. Because it's so important that we, as a church, we're based on the real Bible, all right? I want to encourage you to read the actual real Bible and not just the verses that people put up on Sunday services and the very exciting parts of it. Because there are a lot of boring bits in the Bible that somebody thought was important. That's why it's there. That's why there are all these generational genealogies in the Bible. Genesis 5, 1 to 3. It's so epic. Oh, man, I love this. So they're kicking off Genesis. This is the book. So what kind of book is this? This is the book of the generations of Adam that all of us fall into. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. And then, just in case you thought that the Bible was so old-fashioned and misogynistic or whatever it is, goes, male and female, he created them, and he blessed them, and he named them man. In Hebrew, that's Adam. When they were created. When Adam lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image. And it goes on. In fact, it goes on like this. And named him Seth. And after the days of Adam, he fathered Seth were 800 years. He had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Adam lived were 930 years. Then Seth lived 105 years and he fathered Enosh. Then Seth lived after he fathered Enosh another 807 years and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And it goes on and on from one, naming one generation to another generation to another generation. And I want to put it to you, it's important. It's in the Bible. I mean, I don't know if you could like preach a sermon exactly on every single generation, but it's important in there because every generation connects to another and passes the message on about God. So here are a few things to take out of this one passage. It's the epic beginning of the generations. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Firstly, you have to understand that The Bible views generations as important. That's how Genesis is even described. That it is a book of generation. It's the book of Toledot. The word in there is Toledot. It's the book of the accounts of the generation. The stories of the generation. That's important. The second thing is that man is made in the image of God. That means if somebody is very interested to find out what God is like, if you are wanting to grow and understand God and learn from Him, part of that means you're interacting with other people who are made in God's image. That means that there is, if you combine generational stories plus the fact that we look a little bit like God, you combine those two together, you're going to see, learn, discover things about God in one another. You're going to see things that are the same. And then you're going to see things that are different. Because we are not God. We're just kind of like God. Genesis, in this passage, establishes that generational stories, that every generation is important. It places a high value on the accounts, the testimonies, the day-to-day stories, the culture, and the life of every generation that lives on this planet. What I like about taking time in our church, so we take a month or more to do this every year, and it bleeds into the fabric of FGA. What I like about generations and getting to know somebody from another generation and having them in your life is it moves us away from superficial theory towards a life that is lived. I don't know if you've ever, I remember when I was younger. Raising kids was so easy in my head. I'd be like, when I have kids, this is what they're going to do. We're going to do this. When I get married, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. When I'm senior pastor, I'm going to do this. Oh, my goodness. Live life a little, and then you'll discover, all the things that you want. This is kind of what you get, you know, because a life lived is a lot harder than reading about stuff, having some theory about things. And so what you get is an education. When you interact with another generation, you get an education in life itself. It's like the gym. Because I was sitting next to Mark last night at this function. he was telling me about the gym. The gym is great in theory. It actually makes zero difference to your life, except maybe makes you poorer, you know, if you're just going to have a gym theory. But it makes a whole bunch of difference if it makes it into your life. In fact, I was talking to Mark about I'm so cool in the gym, but I barely go, you know. What kind of techniques are really good? What can I use? And Mark's like, actually, Pastor Chris, any kind of exercise, it's good for you. Like, okay, that's the bar. Any kind of exercise. Great. In Matthew 7, 24 to 27, Jesus says it like this. He goes, the wise man builds his house on a rock. And then he differentiates the wise man from the foolish man. The foolish guy just listens. The foolish guy, it's all theory. Right? What differentiates between the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man actually does it in his life. And that's why I really like generational stories, because they are the stories of people actually trying to live out the Bible, trying to live out their faith. That's why when you read through Genesis, it sounds ridiculous. It doesn't sound like a great manual of epic heroes, because these guys, as we did with Abraham, they fail, right? They take things into their own hands. They commit adultery. They have all kinds of issues, which I want to put it to you, are kind of like our issues. But yet they still keep running after God. They fall and they get up. They go to God in humility. They repent, and again and again and again. Generation after generation goes, I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of grace, and I will still run to you. That's what you get with Genesis. You get very real stories. That's what you get when you encounter real people in this household of faith. You get people who don't live perfect lives, but they live lives that are running after God. I don't know if any of you have ever heard the Shema. It's pretty epic. So it's Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. I love it. It was one of the first things we memorized when we learned Hebrew. It goes like this. Shema Israel Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. For me, just the fact that an Asian dude in Australia can say those words that ancient Jews said in the Old Testament, that blows my mind. That means that somehow the Bible has been transmitted. Somehow, some part of God's precepts and His laws have made it from generation to generation, and now the baton is on us to pass it on. But listen to what is said in the Shema. It is the most important part of the prayer service for the Jews. It is also the last words that they utter. If you're Jewish, like, those are your final words, I guess, before you die, if you can manage it, right? It's also what parents would say to their kids, good Jewish kids, I guess, at the end of every night. And it goes like this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. And what people forget is that the Shema is actually a lot longer than just this, because then it goes on and they keep saying it. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That means you pretty much see them all the time. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That was the original intent for God's word. That's the original intent for our Christian lives, that basically we keep God front and center in our conversations, right? But when we look at that, how often do we talk to our children when we wake up in the morning, we go to sleep at night? How often do we have these types of conversations that point towards God? Kind of, for so many of us, breaks down in the implementation. So today I want to talk about, how does the gospel pass on from one generation to another? How do we do this? I don't think I need to really persuade you guys that it's important for us to speak stories of our lives into another generation. So let's work on the how. Firstly, I want to tackle what I think is a big obstacle that's preventing many of us from doing it. It is, our care factor is too low. Can't be bothered. Why would I spend my days memorizing all the water-type Pokemons? Or, you know, trying to find out where the best fried kway teow is in Doncaster, or who the footy teams. I just heard, like, they're like, we added footy teams. I didn't even know that. I can't even name you the footy teams, and I'm terrible, you know. But why would you be interested in the ridiculous trivia of some other generation with their weird quirks and the things that they talk about that have nothing to do with your life, as if you don't have enough problems, enough things to deal with in your own life for your own generation, right? So I want to tackle that first, the why bother question. We need to understand that the gospel always needs to be contextualized. The gospel, the good news that we carry with us, our great message, always needs to be contextualized. In fact, my friend theologian Sam Chan, who's up in Sydney, said, he wrote a great article. He said, we can't just give people the gospel. And you might hear that and think, what is this guy saying? Every message that we ever say is contextualized. In fact, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, when he came to earth as flesh, he contextualized. So Jesus was born. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was born first century male in Roman-occupied Second Temple Palestine from a working-class family. You better believe that sets a context. That means some of the things he says relate to exactly the people that he was dealing with. And then in our frame, in our lens, it looks crazy. It looks ridiculous. You can't understand why Jesus would do it. And so then we have to do the hard work of saying in their context, in their culture. Every single thing that we say always has our culture attached to it. No one is devoid of culture. No one is devoid of generational culture. Each of us have our unique lens. For example, I'm Asian Australian, right? Accountant. So I think like an accountant, even though I'm bad at accounting. Pastor, consultant. I am a child of the 70s and the 80s. Rachel and I were watching a show just recently, and they referenced the gummy bears. And I'm like, yeah, bouncing here and there and everywhere. And like, I'm such a product of the TV shows of my generation even. I live in Balwyn North in Melbourne. That automatically means there's a whole bunch of people. When we go to Philippines, the life they live there is nothing like the life that I'm living. And I'm very conscious that we're privileged and we are a very, very blessed nation. But it shapes our culture and our context. I talk a certain way and different things are important to me. In our culture, academics, really important, right? I keep talking about reading books. I assign my children books every year to read. Honoring the different genders, very important. Food, maybe, important to like you guys, right? We automatically contextualize. You know, there was this debate I was having in seminary. So I studied in Chicago, right? That's where I picked up Greek and Hebrew. So already, I'm in this weird, having two master's degrees or whatever it is, I'm in this weird academia quadrant of the culture scale. And I'm sitting there in a lecture, and my lecturer, real gun, he's having a debate with another student. And this other student, you know, evangelical, hardcore, we only need the Bible, all these lights, electric guitars, all useless. Why is church becoming more about eating? And why are you doing all these kinds of things? We just need the Bible, just the Bible. Stop contextualizing it. It's useless. We're watering down the gospel. And I saw my my professor argue with this guy until he just had no more time or energy left. He's trying to persuade him, you know, talking about the Mars Hill, talking about being all things to all people and all these Bible verses, couldn't get through. In the end, he goes, "Ah, right. Well, at least you're using the English rather than the Greek." Because, you know, this guy who's arguing, who just wants the Bible, who just wants just the gospel alone, actually is using a contextualized version already of his understanding of God. That is how much context bleeds into every single area of our lives. All right, so that's the first thing you need to understand is understanding context is so important. You've got to, it will go well for you if you invest time to figure out children, youth, young adults, parents, grandparents, the things that we're going through. If you invest time in that, it will go well for your family, it will go well for your workplace, it will go well for your community. Because you will be able to jump these hurdles that our current culture finds it hard to jump. So that's why we believe in really giving a good turn. How does a church like ours stay multi-generational and still see and hear all of these voices? What we try to do is we try to give people a good turn. You've heard me say this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But the bland gray is terrible. If we wanted to be a multi-generational church or even multicultural church, one of the ways we could do it is uniformity, which means there are only three songs that we can sing every Sunday that all the generations like. So they'll be the three songs we serve. And then it's basically, I don't know, what's a food that everybody likes? Fried rice. Chicken. Fried chicken. Okay, there we go. Everybody likes fried chicken? All right, we're good. Okay, you know, and then there's only like one food that we ever serve because that's the only food that people will eat. And so it's just fried chicken. Terrible. There goes all the variety of life. There goes all the richness and depth and insight and color of every single generation of every person. Lost. Because we're trying to do this gray medium. Instead, what we're trying to opt for at FGA, which I believe is a very good model, actually, even for your family, is giving a very good turn. So you'll see, there's some Sundays, it's going to be a prophetic Sunday. We've got Subi coming in September. Wow, you better believe, it's going to be like full on fire. And we're going to give the prophetic a very good turn. But then we've got teaching Sundays where we're basically, I'll just unpack scripture. Or we're moving now into a pastoral series, right? Where we're just going to be talking about the pastoral issues. That's why we're looking at each generation. What we're doing is we're giving every generation a good turn. Some Sundays in our worship, we don't have a particular worship style at FGA. I will say to even Patrick or Hubert, maybe as he comes out, just worship, lead the way you worship, right? And so Patrick will just pick, or Uncle Alan will pick songs that were authentic to him. And we will all just have to discover what that's like and go deep. And I wanna give you some keys of how you can kind of do that well. But you'll see with our generation series, we're kicking off next week, and we've actually tried to anchor it. On so the whole tagline is the stories that shape us, right? And we've picked iconic movies in each of the different generations. So let me see, generations. Right up. So I think Harold's doing Greatest Showman. Next week, circus theme. How many people dressing up as clowns? I don't know. Just wear a top hat to church. Okay. And so let me see if I can just do a quick preview of each of these. Pastor Harold begins the first look at the kids' generation, lives that are full of wonder and potential with a million dreams ahead of them. What will they do with their future lives, and how can we best lead and guide a future generation to serve the Lord and reflect Christ? Don't miss this action-filled Sunday full of surprises and insights. It might just be the greatest show. Okay, then join us the following Sunday after that. We got 18:30. Our young adults are taking over the service. The 18:30 ministry grew up in the great era of reality TV. Shows like The Australian Idol made ordinary people the heroes of our silver screen, with everyone becoming a voice and all of us becoming content providers on platforms like Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube. It's tricky to see who our real idols are. Tap into the millennial story and put on your tight jeans and comb your hair, if you have hair. The spotlight is on you. So that's week three. Then we have our grandparents' Sunday. And in case you do not recognize that image, that is Gone with the Wind. Still, the number one inflation-adjusted movie of all time. And founding pastor, Pastor Roland Seow, takes us back in time to an era that has gone with the wind. What made an older generation stand the test of time? And oh, wow, did time just fly. Here's stories that shape people who have led families and lived lives to God's glory. And perhaps learn a thing or two from the seniors. Frankly, my dear, don't miss this Sunday. Then we go to our youth Sunday after that. And Pastor Jordan Lara and our Fungus Youth Ministry assemble for a mighty look at the heroic stories of their day. Living in times of great possibility, it seems like the galaxy is theirs for the taking. Yet how does a young person guard their heart? And how do they find their way in this big, big world? And then Quinn and I are wrapping up the series with our family Sunday up the end. Number two, highest grossing movie, inflation adjusted. The Titanic was the most famous movie about a sinking ship. Parenting in this fast-paced generation can feel like a constant battle for staying afloat. Jump on board for a journey along the lives of parents as they lead through the many icebergs and obstacles in life. After all, your heart will go on. Oh, and we're all singing Celine Dion. That's it. All right. So, anyway, it's going to be a pretty fun few weeks. And today, if you hadn't guessed, it's just the primer for that. Because I want you to catch that it is important for us to practically pick up skills to hear from another generation, from people who are made in the image of God. There are some things that you can learn. So just in the last 5 minutes, because we're gonna do something a little bit chaotic today. I'm gonna try and end, hopefully, broadly on time, and then we're gonna spend like 5 minutes or so actually meeting somebody from a different generation right here, right now. So I know we're in our chaos series. So firstly, I'm gonna quickly answer the question: how do you cross this generation divide? I'm gonna give you a few tips. All right, here we go. One. You really have to invest. There's no way around it. You've got to spend some time understanding the different generations. Thankfully, we'll try and give you a bit of a snapshot. But it's just like the Bible. How do you get to know the Bible really well? You're not going to understand the Bible really well unless you invest some time actually understanding the cultural context in which the Bible was written. So I'm thinking a bunch of you are reading up on slime, Fortnite, dramas, like K-pop or whatever it is, food, health issues, travel, all these types of things. Be intentional about figuring out and understanding what each of these generations are like. View yourself as a missionary. View yourself as a missionary. You're in, but not of the world. That means you want to reach your parents, you want to reach your grandparents. Take a little time. Talk to another grandparent or another parent in this church and find out what their world is like. Or engage in some of these conversations with, like I've driven with a carload of preteen girls in my car. Talk, right? Great. Figure out what it is that they're saying. And then, it must be important. Quite a lot of conversation goes on, you know. And then see, because you have to first understand. Second, humility sees grace. Number two, if you want to hear about another generation, you have to see the grace that God has placed on your life. Your generation has made a ton of mistakes. You have made a ton of mistakes. God has loved us while we were yet sinners. And so before we start judging another generation or saying that they're useless or they're so out of date or they don't know anything because they're young, we need to actually first see the grace that God has given in our lives. I really like Vincent's sharing at today's pre-service prayer. Did you know that our youth group led pre-service prayer today in the morning? So I would encourage you to come an hour early for church and we pray. But Vincent shared Philippians chapter 2. And he said, he began with, have the mind of Christ. Why don't you read Philippians chapter 2 and discover what the mind of Christ is? I think you'll see that humility sees grace. 3, this I think is the most important point. I've worked 8 years as a strategic consultant before I became a pastor. And I worked in the area of change management. So people paid us thousands, if not millions of dollars across the company to help affect change in people. And what we've discovered is that theory is useless. Exposure is the way to go. So if you never see a young person, if you never see an older person, your chances of really understanding that generation by reading Facebook articles or seeing YouTube is close to zero. The best thing that we can do for you to help you in your family to relate cross-generationally is have church services like this, is to have kids in our service, is to do combined sports day things together. The best way for us, the best way for you to hear between the generations is to actually take the time and effort and go out of your way and interact and have exposure to people who are in different generations. That's why even when we get up here and preach, you'll find that I don't censor, culturally anyway, the messages that come up here. We have 2 criteria for preaching, that they are genuine disciples of God, and 2, that they're authentically sharing from their life. That's a criteria we use. That's why you'll get Uncle Roland and he'll do his Uncle Roland jokes, which are really fantastic. I've kind of grown to like it. And then we'll have some young people up preaching as well. And you'll get a glimpse as to what God is doing in their life. Exposure actually develops in us resilience, which I will be covering in the parent session towards the end. Okay, great. So, do you want to be a byproduct of your generation? After you've heard all of these, that the Bible has been richly full of generation after generation, after you've heard that basically we are all made in the image of God and there's high value in people, do you want to be only influenced by the things that your generation is doing? Do you want to be the kind of person who typifies your generation? Or would you rather be a byproduct of a household of faith? That's the challenge for all of us as a church. That's us as we go into the series. But I want to put it to you, not just for the Sunday. The reason why I'm preaching this as the intro to the whole series is actually I'm hoping to stir up your hearts that you will reconsider visiting your parents, that you will reconsider spending a day with a high schooler. I took a high schooler out for lunch, you know, last week. I also caught up with Uncle Eng Siong, And I tell you what, there you can learn something. You can learn something from every generation. I'm hoping that today will somehow spark in your life an actual real step where you're going to cross the generational divide in your own homes, in your community, in our church even, and say something like, hey, can I spend some time with you? I'd love to hear some stories from your generation. All right? So now we're going to do this in prayer. Oh, look at this. Is that 11:30? On the dot. Oh, cool. Gen X is the best generation. Okay, we're going to spend the next 5 minutes. And here's your primer. The next 5 minutes. You're going to turn to somebody. Now, this is really tricky. Please don't insult somebody by thinking they're in a different generation. Okay. So you're going to find somebody in the last 5 minutes of church. We're not going to dismiss yet. We can do this while we're here. Church is relational. Find somebody between 10 to 20 years, either up or down from you. So at least 10. At least 10. That should make it clear. But, you know, if you're a bit confused, shoot for 20. Shoot for 20. Yes. Okay. Shh. Okay, all right, before we go, here's... Shh. I know you. It's really tricky. You want to get a head start? It may require you to move. Because maybe you're just sitting with your own generation. Okay. I want you to go up. Two people. Right? So you're finding a partner. Get to know their name. Get to know their name. And then you're going to ask them, hey, shh, what is, like, one thing that you have learned in life? Now, it doesn't have to be epic. It could be, like, they're overcharging for avocados. Whatever. Like, one thing, right? One thing that you have learned in all your life. Just one. It doesn't have to be super, again, I want to emphasize, it doesn't have to be super epic, but hopefully it's something that you can share that the other person doesn't know. Like, for instance, if you're younger, you can go, oh, I learned that you can mute your phone like this or something like that, right? Or it could be... something that's even a little bit more deep, right? So you could share something like, I discovered in life that relationships, they matter. Because after all my years of working, my boss couldn't care less about me and my company, whatever. And so you share that one big insight in life. Right? Or if you meet Roger, he'll say, never pay full price. Ever. Or whatever it is, right? So it's okay. This is just going to be practice for us as we hear another generation. I want to put it to you, the younger guys, if you're thinking you've got nothing to offer, say something that you've learned about your current generation. About your current life, because some of us who are older, we're finding it hard to navigate this current fast-paced world. So you could teach us a thing or two. Okay? So we're gonna begin. I'm gonna give everybody 5 minutes, and I'm gonna close this in prayer. And you can continue chatting if you want, but I'm gonna close. But I'm not gonna close till we have the 5 minutes. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Find somebody right now. It's part of church. Don't leave. Find somebody, one thing that you...